Multifamily Mindset
Podcast.
Think bigger.
All right, aloha and welcome. My name is Tyler Devereaux, and I have a special guest with me here today that I am freaking pumped to introduce you to. I'm pumped, man. We have an awesome guest here, Zasha, here from the islets. You're born and raised here in Maui, which makes me so pumped because it's so rare that I get somebody in office. So, Zasha, welcome to the
GrowthCast. Aloha, everybody, and thank you guys for having me.
Oh, pleasure to have you. So excited to have you. I know this. Those of y'all who are listening, you take notes, man. Pull over if you're driving. Take notes. I'm 100% confident that today's guest will inspire you, will educate you, and help you for sure. So she's a mom of two, 36 years old, and a full-time real estate investor and real estate mastermind, which, and you host a real estate mastermind too, right?
Yeah, so we have monthly Maui meetups here.
Sweet. Well, I've never got the invite, Zasha.
Now you got to come.
Yes, I'm ready. Okay, a little bit of background. Bios are great, but if I'll be honest with you, I kind of hate just reading the bio. You mind if we just talk about your background?
Of course.
Because I love your story, by the way. I seriously love your story. So where, background, where you grew up, how you, we knew where you grew up, but how you grew up, and then just how you transitioned into where you're at today.
Well, being from an island, it is very expensive to live here, especially if you are starting off, without any formal educational background. And so for me, I was raised by a single mom. I have a brother and a sister. And so we ended up, moving around a lot when I was younger, being here on island, being raised here. And she struggled. We lived I moved twice or maybe even three times a year. So I probably lived in every city on this island. Yeah. But she was definitely a go-getter and did whatever it took to make sure that we got by. And so just seeing her persevere through that really inspired me to always, be aware of my financial, it brings back a lot of memories, and it's a little bit tough for me to talk about it, but I feel like it's going to be very inspirational for other people. And so there were times where we had to have car washes and garage sales. Growing up, when we were in elementary school, we used to sell candy while we were going to school as well, just to help my mom raise money, makes bamboosubis for her to take to work and sell to other people. So it was a very tough growing up, but I feel like that definitely helped me now as an adult. So when I was going to high school, we were actually living in low-income housing, and that taught me very well where I didn't want to be. And it was hard being around other people who were also struggling. And so mindset had a really big play when I was younger to think, okay, I got to get off this rock. I got to change, make a difference. And really, I want to take care of my family. I got to find a way how to do that. And so I think people think of Maui as living in paradise, but there's also the other side of it where people are struggling just to make ends meet here.
Totally agree. Mm-hmm. It's crazy when, I moved here because I thought, Maui's going to be, Maui is paradise.
It is. No.
But with anywhere there is challenges, mm-hmm. and you recognize those challenges, and you obviously experience so many challenges living and growing up here. And we actually have similar backgrounds, by the way. Similar backgrounds, meaning struggled through childhood, mm-hmm. and how that motivated me to really just change the situation for my family. Like, I felt this just massive responsibility. Like, it was my job to do that. And I know you did. I can tell from the way you talk about your story and you tell your story, like you took it. So where do you, because you said you have how many brothers and sisters?
Two.
And are you, where do you fit in there?
Oldest.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. It's kind of funny how that works, right? Mm-hmm. Where you just that naturally just kind of take that charge there. So growing up, moving all around the island, when did you feel like this responsibility? Like, when did that click in for you? Is there a moment that happened?
I feel like it was one of my teachers. So I went to Maui High School. So I legit grew up here, raised here, graduated from Maui High School. But one of my teachers while I was going to high school was like, hey, are you going to college, or what are you going to do after high school? And I was like, I don't know. I'm working at the mall right now at Spencer's Gifts selling little trinkets, and maybe, I can get a be a supervisor there one day. And he was like, no, you need to explore the world, get off this island and see what else is out there. You're meant for more. And so that, you know, his belief in me, and I believe throughout my life, there's been a lot of people that I've been around who have encouraged me to do more. Him and my college counselor put together $50 each to go and apply to a college. And I didn't know that, you know, not dating myself, but they didn't have real college fairs here and things like that. We didn't really know about scholarships. It wasn't widely known as it is now. And so they taught me how to apply for FAFSA, apply for scholarships, and gave me that money in order to apply somewhere. And so funny story about this is that when I was looking for colleges, I was like, okay, I probably want to go to, you know, California. It's similar weather. And looking at all the schools, I was like, okay, Cal State, you know, there's one in San Diego, one in Long Beach. I was like, oh, Snoop Dogg goes to Long Beach. Or he lives in Long Beach, so I think I want to go there. So there was like no premise of why I picked the college that I went to. But my two teachers gave me the money to go apply. And so I did, got in, and they helped me apply for scholarships that paved the way for me to go to college basically for free. I didn't have any debt coming out of college, which a lot of people, it's the opposite route. Yeah. But because I was in such financial need, I got my housing paid for by the Gates Millennium Scholarship. And I was a really smart student. I just didn't have that belief or confidence in myself growing up. And so that was where my life kind of took a turn. And my mom didn't know, you know, how to, she never graduated from college, so she didn't know what that was like. And she could only teach me as much as she knew. And so having those people in your life, like, be aware of those who are around you that want you to see you succeed.
Yeah, I love that. Those two are heroes, man. Mm-hmm. Like, I literally believe that. I believe people like that are heroes. And now, not dating myself either, but now being in the position we're in, the age that we're in, it's like, it makes us very, it makes me, and I know just from learning a little bit about you, but very cognizant of how we're pouring into others. And that we have everybody has this ability to impact people. Like, do you think that those two, do you think they have any idea of the impact that they've made on your life?
Oh, no. So another funny story is that I ran into that same teacher, Mr. Gima, from my high school, still a teacher there. Yeah. And he was like, hey, how are you doing? I was like, oh, you know, I graduated from college. I'm an engineer. And he was like, oh, cool. I thought you'd be on drugs, but glad to see you made it, you know? So very, like, you know, humorous personality, but you know, they don't, I don't think a lot of teachers get enough credit for the impact that they make on students, even when they don't realize it or take it seriously. But that's why they do their job, because they don't get paid that much either.
Totally. And that is why they do their job. Like, that is what, it's just this great reminder of those individuals who have had an impact in your life. Like, reach out and you tell them, you know, and then also make it cognizant effort to make sure that you're making the impact, which you are. Like, I want to, I want to bullet point a couple things, because you went to college. Same place Snoop Dogg, same area Snoop Dogg. Did you ever meet Snoop?
No, sadly, no.
Because if you did, you'd probably be into drugs, Sasha.
Glad I didn't, right?
No, I love Snoop. Me and my wife's first date was a Ziggy Marley Snoop Dogg concert. It's best first date. Yeah, it was awesome. So I want to run through this a little bit, because you started your, so you were a civil engineer.
Yep.
And you designed underground utilities for hotels, shopping centers, subdivisions all across Hawaii. You were making $70,000 a year. 60-hour work weeks. We're just tired. And what you said that your family was getting the rundown, tired version of you. And that is, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but that is what, like, made this shift, this switch for you to change. Is that true?
Yes. And so it was actually my husband that brought it up, because he had owned his own company. And he was like, hey, you know, I don't mind that you love your career or you're taking it really serious, but you're spending a lot of hours away from us. And typically in any sort of relationship, it's the other way around, right?
Yeah, totally.
And so we were trying to figure out, okay, what else can we do, or what else can I get into that will kind of buy back my time? And I feel like a lot of people are in that situation, to where they might like their jobs and it's okay, but then they're being overworked or putting, you know, all this time and effort into something that might not pay you in return what it's worth, what your time is worth. Yeah. And so I started looking up, you know, Googling silly things like, okay, how to get rich, or, you know, how to quit my job and still, you know, make it. And that's when I found real estate investing. And I've seen a lot of people had invested in real estate. And me being from Hawaii, it was hard enough just to get our first home. I mean, I was an engineer. My husband owned his own plumbing company. And just for us to qualify for our first home was hard. And so once I found out, okay, I can try to get into buy some real estate on my own, use some conventional loans, talk to some officers. And at that time, I had no idea about leveraging other people's money or loans, bank loans, other than conventional loans to buy your home. So when I went to the bank, I was like, oh man, we just put all this money into our home. And one of the ladies, the tellers, was like, hey, did you ever think about getting a HELOC or refinancing to get that money back out? I was like, what is that? Like, I have no idea what that meant. And so after learning about those other lines of credit and cash out refinance, where you could basically leverage the equity in your home, get this money back, and then invest it in other things, that was like, that blew my mind. And so that's kind of how we started. We bought a few rental properties, and then I hit my max DTI, so debt to income ratio, where you can't qualify for those loans anymore. So I was like, okay, how else do people do it? Then I started going to meetups, seeing what other investors were doing. And surprisingly, I mean, on Maui, there are quite a few. I mean, even you live here now, right? So if you intentionally put yourself around people who are doing these higher level projects, then you feel more comfortable, get that confidence and say, okay, they've done it this way. So my third deal was actually fully funded by a private lender who lives here, who didn't want to kind of be in charge of projects anymore. They didn't want to deal with contractors, finding the deal, running the deals. It's just, it is a lot of work in the interim, especially if you're flipping. And so that's kind of where I learned, okay, this is the area that I'm good at. And now that I had a track record of buying a few properties, now I, even for myself, felt comfortable raising private money, because I was never comfortable. You know, I was like, okay, what if the deal goes south? Or, you know, then I don't want to hurt that relationship with someone else. So I think a lot of people don't realize, like, they want to raise private money from the start, which is fine, but you also, it's good to have some experience so that you know the challenges that comes with it and the setbacks. So partnering with somebody experienced definitely helps to offset that as well.
Totally. Dude, there's so much to unpack. I just want to take a second, because you literally just unpacked a ton that I just want to drill this home to anybody listening, because you are where you are really because you made a decision to search out a better life. And you started to recognize these little things, like, do I believe that you would have recognized the potential of a HELOC, or that there's these other groups and these meetups and these opportunities to learn, if you really weren't searching for something like that? No, you recognized them because you made a decision that you wanted to change somehow. That decision is massive. Like, you start to recognize opportunities everywhere, right?
Well, and I think that's important for people to always realize, is that you have to have that, like, curiosity in you to want to figure it out. Because if you hit a wall and you're like, okay, it's done, then of course it's done. Like, you can't move any further, but you're like, okay, could I get a ladder? Could I go around it? You know, you're just curious about other ways and asking people, like, put it out there, whatever you're doing, put it out to the universe, talk to everybody about, even if you're a newbie. And this is what I told Tyler, is like, I'm a newbie in the multifamily space, but I still put myself out there and tell people, hey, I'm just learning, but how can I help you? Or how do I do this? Yeah. And they give me answers. And if I take action right away, then it gets done.
Totally. So. Which is a huge separator. It's like, that's what makes you, dude, you're a rock star, man, because you just are. Like, just how you laid that out too, and how you just overcome challenges. And obviously you learned some of that from your mom, and you're talking about how she was just a hustler to get stuff done, and she worked so hard, you know, and it motivates you to. For me personally, my mom was the same way. My mom, we did not grow up wealthy at all, but my mom was a single mom, raised four kids, and she was an absolute rock star. Like, did anything that she needed to do or could do to provide for the family. And for me personally, I looked at that and I was like, I want to make my mom proud. Like, I want to let her know that the work that she did helped me become who I am, you know? And so I better become something, or else I'm going to let her down. Like, that motivated me for a long time, and it continues to motivate me, but our motivations change, you know? So to see your journey and I just paint this picture. 3 years ago, she started real estate investing, 2019. She's done 17 flips. She has 9 long-term rentals, 1 short-term rental. That one spits off like $10,000 a month in passive income, right? Which is amazing. And then she did her first multifamily deals this year, 110 units in Texas. What part of Texas?
Austin.
Austin, Texas. Mm-hmm. Great market. 253 units in Florida. And what part of Florida?
Ocala.
Yeah. Ocala or Ocala?
Ocala. I don't know. See, I always say it wrong. Yeah.
O-C-S. Maybe I'm saying wrong shit. I don't know. Yeah. So that progress over 3 years, Zasha, is amazing. But it's not a surprise to me. Like now chatting with you, learning, you know, from you, it's like that progress has happened because you're freaking determined to make it happen. I love it. Like, you know, can I get a ladder? Can I, like, what's the solutions, you know? So along those, this journey, okay, what's your, let's talk about your first flip.
Okay.
Yeah, let's talk about your first flip.
Well, so that one was a condo in Kihei. So when, okay, so stepping back, when I talked to my husband about investing, right, he was a little hesitant because we got our house, you know, we just spent all our money, then we pulled out a HELOC. He's like, what is this? We're, you know, pulling out all this debt.
Yeah.
And I said, well, if we use this debt to make more money, then it becomes a vehicle, you know, to more investments and possibly bigger deals that will cash flow where you trade, you don't have to trade your money for time and things like that. So I try to explain it to him. Obviously, I'm not the best at articulating a lot of things, but I just keep putting myself out there. And so that's what I've found success in. And so even with this flip, I said, you know what, let's start with a condo because it's small. We don't have to worry about the exterior. I seen one that was, I'm the typical person, went on Zillow. I'm not a licensed realtor or anything. I was like, okay, there's one for sale for $300. It's in this condo complex. Another one sold for $475. I said, okay, can't be that much to fix up a condo because our house costs like $80,000. So maybe like $40,000 or $50,000 and I probably make some money. And so we use a conventional loan, which you're not supposed to do that, by the way, to flip a home. Initially we're going into it and thought, okay, an investment property, I didn't know meant like rental if you're using conventional loan.
Yeah.
We ended up fixing it up in 30 days. We spent about $32,000 on a renovation and then sold it to a cash buyer who wanted to retire here for $480,000. And so we had netted over, like, I think $103,000 was our net profit on that. And took 45 days.
Dude, 45 days, $100K, more than you used to make in a year.
Yes.
So what's going through your mind at this point?
So I was so hesitant to quit my job.
Okay. Because that's safety.
Yes. Right?
That safety net, yeah.
And I think a lot of people can relate to that, right? It's like, I put myself through college, you know, growing up, struggling. That was like the main thing in our family. And I think a lot of people are like, okay, you got to get your college degree. Like that's the automatic next step. And so my family, I was the first to graduate from college in my family, in my entire family. And so everybody was super proud. And so that's, I worked for 10 years as a civil engineer. Even that was something major to accomplish. Yeah. And so to kind of leave while having a child in college. And so I think all of those things that I went through, I didn't want to, you know, just push it to the side because of this one thing. And what if I just got lucky for this one deal? Or what if I, you know, just stumbled upon it? And so that's when I knew I kind of needed guidance and needed a mentor because my husband was telling me for a long time, like, just quit already and then you can do this full time.
Yeah.
And it wasn't.
Okay, so he switched quick then.
Yes.
Dude, I love that. Okay, keep going. Sorry.
Yeah. So now he knew, like, proof of concept, right? With anything. Yeah. Once you're successful, then you have the confidence to keep going. And for him, too, it wasn't even just about the money. It was like, oh, my gosh, look at, you could buy all this time back. Like you just 45 days made what you made in, you know, more than you made in 365 days. So you get more time with us was his perspective of it. So that even that in itself was just enough to kind of let me know that this was the direction that I needed to head in. And so then I knew, OK, now I got to get a mentor or somebody to guide me because I know I have the wit and can get through a deal and make all this money, but how can I do it consistently?
Yeah, repeat it, yeah.
And so that's when I joined Ryan Pineda's coaching program. He had just started out and there was probably only 8 of us at that time. So even his first mastermind was in his living room. And so now, I mean, he's huge. There's like thousands of students in his mentorship and probably just like you. So I'm glad that I got in it in the beginning because I did get a lot of one-on-one time with him. But he said the same thing. He's like, dude, why don't you just quit? Like, you just made $100,000. Like, all you just got to do one deal a year and you're good.
Yes.
And so I think it was just somebody who was experienced telling me that, then it made me realize, okay, well, what about my health care, like my health insurance? It's like, how much is that a month? I was like, oh, $1,800, because we do pay for a higher plan, because I also have my son, my youngest son is autistic. Mm-hmm. And so just him saying that, I was like, oh, yeah. I mean, that's not that much in the scheme of things, right? Yeah. I just made $100,000. I can pay for $1,800 a month. So
this is the beauty of having people around you within your circle, mm-hmm. that can just point things out.
Yes.
And I'll give you an example. But think about this. Like, we have these things in our mind. We make these things too big. This decision that is a decision that we know we want to make, that we, you know, can make. But we sometimes just need some guidance of like, no, like, let's put this into perspective, right? Mm-hmm. That's so powerful, that in and of itself. That happens by being in circles. Yesterday, I'm on a call with a mentor of mine, and I'm struggling through this situation of scaling. And I'm like, you know, this is the problem. This is what I'm saying. And he's like, and he just walks me through, and he's like, takes this big problem, right? And shows me ladders and ways around it, you know, and breaks it down. He's like, no, this is what we need to do, and this is how you do it. And I was like, holy shit. You know, like literally 30-minute call, yeah. And it's like completely pivots and shifts. It's so powerful, mm-hmm. man. So shout out to Ryan, and shout out to your husband too. What's right. your husband's name?
Woody.
That's a great yeah. fucking name.
And if you're on Maui, Woody's Plumbing Services. You know, call him up if you ever have plumbing issues.
I love it. Shout out to Ryan and his coaching program, and shout out to Woody's Plumbing Services. I love it. We'll have to hit him up, man. Okay, so then you did your first flip, joined the mentorship program, and then started to scale and grow. And then one of the things you said is that you wouldn't do it again, or you wouldn't flip that again, or something. And as we were chatting, what did you mean by that?
So I think I would. Okay, well, I forget where I was going with that.
I don't know. If you don't know, like, so you were. Tell me. Well, maybe the better question is this: why did you decide to start transitioning? Because this year is the year you started to transition into multifamily.
Yes.
And why did you decide to transition into multifamily?
Okay, now I remember. Sorry, guys. When you're flipping anything, you know, it's, you put in a lot of time and effort that you would to something that you would keep long term as well. But then it's gone, and then now you're left with paying these short term capital gains tax. And for me, every project that I get into, I put in so much work and time that to see it just kind of go, it was, you can even get that money back if you pull out the money through a HELOC or a cash out refinance. So you can still get that money back in a different way. So I think that's the mindset shift that I had, was like, oh, I don't have to sell it to make this money, yeah, right? Yeah. And so now going into these larger multifamilies, it takes less time to be in these projects, and then you get more equity, long-term depreciation, just other aspects of it that I want my life to look like. I want to be more of a passive investor instead of so active in projects. Yes. And so that's why I think partnerships are so ideal. And for me, if I'm near a project, I'm going to go to it. Yeah, so yeah. Now majority of my projects are out of state, because I don't want to be able to go there, because then I want to, you know, have a handle on it.
Yeah, yeah. You like to control it, right?
Yes, yeah.
I'm very much the same way. The move to Maui to me was... It was deeper than I ever realized moving here. Mm-hmm. Like the impact it had to be able to remove myself, still like work on the business, just not in the business, right? Yes. Not going to the properties all the stinking time, because yeah. I mean, we live out here on a rock, right?
Well, and then so that first project, that first condo, even though it was tiny, it was definitely one that I put a lot more effort into than I needed. I was driving like trucks to the dump. I was like there running to Lowe's on my lunch break and delivering materials. I thought, oh my gosh, this is gonna like, you know, make them move faster, because I'm gonna be around and like in it with them. But yeah, no, it didn't.
But you know what? So many times we gain this confidence that we have. Not just some of the time. I believe the true way to gain confidence is through experiences. Mm-hmm. And now I wanna avoid as many challenges as possible, right? And scale and expedite the process. But I look at those challenges at that point for you, like those sacrifices, like, dude, mm-hmm. during your lunch break, going and getting these things done. And yes, is it great to delegate and bring in other team members and partners? Absolutely. But there are still things that you have to sacrifice. And I know you know that. But how many people aren't willing to sacrifice that because they're not for sure that there's going to be a return from that, right? Mm-hmm. It's crazy to me, which is why I love that you do that. But I also want to hone in on one thing, because the multifamily side and the investing side and the long-term versus short-term. So many investors, like, and then you talk about your HELOC, right? Mm-hmm. cash out of HELOC, you put that money to work. Okay, well, when you cash out of HELOC, you put that money to work, and on a short-term flip, then you give that money back to your investors, plus their returns. How do they feel about that?
Well, they definitely... So if it's somebody else taking out a HELOC and then they get that money back, they just don't know sometimes what to do with it. Yep. So they end up spending it. Or I've had, you know, private lenders where I'm like, hey, we have this other project coming up. If you want to lend, they're like, oh, shoot, I just spent 50 grand on this and this. I was like, how did you do that in like less than a month, you know? Yep. So I think people's financial education or financial background, too, has a play in how they are reinvesting their money, because it's good to invest one time, right? You get a taste of it, you see what the return is, but then to do that consistently and think of it more like a savings that's like accruing and almost like your retirement, right? It's absolutely there and set on the side. It's not when you get this money back, you're making a lot of money. It's money that you've probably never seen before because you're leveraging equity in your home, so you never had that before, but still yet knowing how to manage it, I think is key for a lot.
It's literally one of the things that I'm most grateful for. I'll tell you how I was able to scale so quickly is I live a very simple life. Mm-hmm. Like I would, for a very long time, like any money that I would make from it, I would reinvest it back in. So, you know, somebody would exit a deal, one of my multifamily deals that I passively invested in, or one of my deals that I passively invested in, exit, get a good chunk. I never, dude, just took that and went and bought a home or a car or like... all back in, dumped everything back in. And I still dump the far majority back in, especially my equity gains. Like I live off cash flow and I take all the equity gains and put them back in. Any acquisition fee, I put it back in. Why? Because it's like you said, it's literally how I view it. This savings account, this retirement growing, these equity pieces growing, that if something happens in my life, I need to cash out to grab that. I look at these, like these checks hanging up here, right? That I can cash that out to pay for medical care or pay for something if it comes up, right? But really, I don't ever plan on tapping into those things. I want that to continue to grow and to grow and to grow and then, you know, continue to just spin off cash flow.
When I think we're the same in that aspect as well, is that it's, you know, I still live the same kind of way that I did before. People are like, oh my gosh, you're a millionaire now. I'm like, yeah, but nothing has really changed. I didn't even realize it. So I like to tell this funny story is one of my friends, Brian, reached out to me and he was like, hey, are you a millionaire yet? I was like, I don't have $1 million in the bank. And he was like, hello, nobody does. Like you got your assets and your liabilities. And I just keep, so for me, I just think of progression is like, okay, what's the next step? And I don't even take time to really celebrate my win. So I just started doing that this year is really taking, I have a bookkeeper, I have a CPA, they do their thing, I trust them. So when I took a look at my assets and liabilities, I was like, oh my gosh, like I am a millionaire, you know, right? But I don't feel differently. And I don't feel like it really affects your morals or integrity, or it doesn't have to change who you are, right? Yeah. And you don't all of a sudden have to start driving a Tesla to prove anything to yourself. Yep. Or I still shop at Ross. Like I love Ross. So,
so does my wife.
Right. So I think a lot of people have this misperception of like millionaire and you have all this money, but if you're constantly investing or you have the right background on finances and how it works and how investments work, then you know that, you know, you should be, when I was first starting to invest or saving money to invest, even for our first home, I would set aside 50% of my income, which is extreme for some people. And then set that aside as savings in order to buy our first home. So I was already used to that mindset of, okay, let's just live on half of what we could do and then use the rest to invest. And so that's, I think, is like how you said, not a lot of people are willing to give up things. And we were always, you know, we shop at Costco, we go to Ross. I drove my vehicle until the transmission went out, right? Yeah. And then I got a new one. But it's just little things like that that will help you in the end make most use of your money. And then knowing now investments, you can grow your money without it doing anything. You leave it in your savings, it's basically losing money to inflation.
Exactly.
But if you invest it, at least you can try to keep up or make a little bit more in return.
That's exactly it. Mm-hmm. I mean, and everyone out there listening, we are both active investors on multifamily projects. Mm-hmm. But we're also both passive investors on these projects. Mm-hmm. And everyone out there listening, I know this, man. We have a bunch of people out here who maybe they're not active investors, but they hear us talk about multifamily. They hear us talk about passive investing. They hear, but they don't make the steps to passively invest. That is the game changer. Like, that's a game changer. It's in your account. Your number one goal, first off, is to just beat inflation. And I promise you right now, if it's in a bank account, it ain't beating inflation. Like, you need to pull those things out, especially in the markets that we're in right now, and invest into hard assets like multifamily and tax benefits, depreciation, like you mentioned, cash flow, equity, all that kind of stuff.
Well, and for me, I left my job in 2020 and I had a 401k there, and it was $107,000. I remember, because I was like, okay, what do I do with it? I wasn't really sure. I just left it there. I was like, okay, it'll be like a savings account. It'll just stay there. And whenever I'm ready to decide what I'm going to do with it, I can. I just checked it a couple weeks ago. It's down to $81,000. I was like, by leaving it there, I lost over $10,000 a year, and I know I can make it work way better for me. So I am going to, you know, roll it over into a self-directed IRA and then, you know, invest it from there. But I know how to do more with my money than a bank could, or, definitely, you know, the stock market. And so that's what I tell people too, is like, I not only am an active investor, like I have flips, I do my own rentals on my own, I do multifamily, but I also lend out on other people's projects and invest in other syndications, just because I want to diversify. So not having all your eggs in one bucket, I think, is something else to think about as well.
Definitely agree. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about this trend that I see in your life, is that you're just continually looking, and you even just said it, this progression, what's next? Because there's so many people that would get to this point where you're at, or even before you start to transition or look at different things, you know, and just be comfortable. People who make $100,000 on a flip, and they're like, I'm rich. You know? And at that point, they go buy a car, they go buy a new home, they go buy whatever the hell they buy. Or you just stay progression strategic towards the goals that you have. But you have to have those goals and what you're looking to achieve, right?
And have supportive people around you. So my mom definitely supports what I do, and my husband. So I think with their support, I am able to get into these bigger projects and really, you know, make the max use of my money. If you're not around those supportive people, and even in mentorships, right, they encourage me, okay, this is normal. Because if you talk to any, you know, I talk to some of my friends and other people, and they're like, oh, it's so risky. And it's like, not really, but you have to keep surrounding yourself by supportive people and the right people that are either doing what you're doing, or even higher, at a higher level than you, so that you can stay motivated.
Always surround yourself with people that are a higher level, so that they can continue to pull you up and teach you different things, right? I totally agree with that. I had an IRA when I started this business, like the multifamily space, and I actually cashed out my IRA that's how I paid for my first mentorship program. Is I cashed it out. And do you know how much shit I got for that? You're going to pay a penalty. You're going to pay a fee. There's taxes. I promise you right now, what that has resulted to, obviously, there's no chance in hell that my IRA would ever get me to where I'm at now. Like, zero chance. So what's more risky, staying stuck in a spot or actually investing in yourself? Investing in yourself is the best investment you can make, period. So I want to talk about this transition too, because you start to transition, you start to grow. Not just your real estate portfolio, but your influence. Like, you have amassed a massive, awesome social media following, and you said that's over the past year. So I was talking to, tell me about how you've done that first. Tell me how you've done that. How did you, what made you decide to scale your social media platform, and how did you go about doing that?
So Ryan Pineda has always been all about leveraging anything that you can in life. And so once he found out, okay, he was being reached out to people that had money or deals through social media. So once he found out about that, we had, you know, this big meeting. He was like, look, everybody grow your social media. Deals and money will come to you. And that's exactly what's come to me. And more opportunities as far as even working with other companies for referral fees or affiliate fees. And just being mindful that you always want to diversify even your sources of income streams. And so that definitely was the motivation behind growing that. And so the end of last year, you know, I started putting out more videos, and it was like dancey ones and, you know, going with the trends. I mean, like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? But honestly, it was just a real life connection. So I was constantly commenting or messaging, like, people like Brandon Turner, who were people I wanted to be around, Brittany Anderson, Investor Girl Britt, and a bunch of other higher level investors that I wanted to see how I could add value to, and reposting their things. And so as that grew, and then I became more open to sharing, because a lot of people, you know, they're scared, like, oh, I don't want them to know this much about my life. But in all honesty, like, they're gonna find out. And so the more you put yourself out there, yes, it leaves you open to more criticism, mm-hmm. but there's more good that has come from it than bad. And so you just kind of ignore, just like anything else in life, when people aren't doing the same things or in the same realm as you as far as what they're looking to achieve, then you don't really pay attention to them, right? They might have their concerns or say things, but you just pay attention to the good things that come out of it. Connections, right? I was just on the Bigger Pockets podcast, yeah. show 668. You haven't listened yet, but it was through the connection that I made with Brandon. Even though we both live on Maui, it was like we were, he was one time looking for lava rocks or something for his wall. And so I was like, hey, here's my uncle's contact, contact him, and just trying to add value to people who I wanted to be around that way. And yeah. so that grew my social influence, sharing my story, of course, from, you know, zero to now a millionaire, and just really just inspiring people, educating them and showing them that they could do it too. And even though it's only been 3 years, it feels like it's been way longer than that. But I keep telling people, it's like, you can get stuck in that analysis part. But once you break out of that, like, this is the possibilities. Totally. Nowhere near where I could be, but always leveling up. And it might seem slow for some people, or some people it might not happen that fast, but don't be discouraged by that. You know, I'm a very avid, you know, once I get something in my mind and I make calculated risks. So this is the thing, is people are like, oh, that's so risky. I was like, it's a calculated risk though. Of course, with any kind of, even syndications or bigger projects, there is a risk to it not going sure. the way that you think it's going to go. However, if you have that money set aside, you're not even going to use it really for your, you're not even considering it as your income, right? Like you said, you just set it aside and this is for investing. You're comfortable with that. And then from there, you just progress. But it's that belief and confidence in yourself and where you want to go, what you want to do with it, that really drives you to that next level.
That's exactly it. Mm-hmm. There's so much to just unpack from what you just said there. I absolutely love that. It's just putting yourself out there and understanding that there is a bigger picture that you're looking towards. Like, I have lost more money than most people have probably even made in their lifetime. And that sounds like nuts. Mm-hmm. That's not a very good flex. Okay. Right. But it's like, but here's the thing.
Right.
I swear in my life, it's like, it's this blip because of we're continually taking steps. And then what do you do when you lose? You feel it. Mm-hmm. You feel a loss way more and learn from a loss way more than you learn from gains, right? So you lose something and you're like, I'm never making that mistake again. Mm-hmm. And so these years of trials and these years of challenges, these years of mistakes, you know, all of a sudden put you in this position. You're like, man, I can, when you do something that you don't, that you at one point didn't think was possible, it opens up to like literally, well, anything's possible. Like literally anything is possible.
Yes.
And that mindset is powerful.
Yeah. You know? Well, and then that's what I tell people too, is like the more you put it out there, so like now I have over 100,000 followers, the more that I tell people, hey, this is what I'm looking to get into. These are my goals. And people are like, oh my gosh, I have a deal right now. Or I have this investment if you want it. So more things will come to you if people know about it, right? If they don't even know that you're an investor, you have, you know, nothing to put out there to people, then how can they help you, right?
You know what? I just learned something from you right there, mm-hmm. because you talked about, you just said the goal, you're putting your goals out there. And if you put your goals out there, some people, and I don't, I've just never thought of doing it like that, mm-hmm. but you put your goals out there, what you're looking to achieve, what you're looking to do, what you're working on, people will come out of the woodworks to show you ways or help you do that. I love that.
Well, and so I had posted a tweet on my Instagram as well, but it said like my goal for this fourth quarter was to get an RV park under contract or a 20 unit building with one other partner because I wanted a little bit more equity. And this lady had reached out to me and she's like, hey, I have so many Airbnbs in this area. I was driving past this RV park and it's a really good deal, but I never thought about it. And then I seen your post and wanted to reach out and see if we can partner and make it work. And I was like, yes, let's do it. You know, so
that's how you did your RV park.
Yes. That's literally how I did
it. That's so awesome. Like that is an actionable for every single person mm-hmm. that's listening to this. Mm-hmm. I love that. Putting yourself out there and just like watch it happen. Mm-hmm. But why are people nervous to do that? Well, because then they're accountable to it, mm-hmm. right? They tell people what they're nervous to tell people what they're working on because what if it doesn't happen? But by telling people what you're working on, it will make it happen, right?
Yes.
So it's funny because I was talking to Alex Ibarra. He's here on Island too.
Yes. Yeah.
In fact, I think love that's Alex. Maybe even how we connected, but because mm-hmm. He was telling me, he's like, man, it's crazy, man. I was going to these you know, different flips and these, you know, meetups with Zasha, and she had, you know, a couple thousand followers, whatever. And then next thing I know, I open up her, you know, IG, and she has 100,000 followers. I'm like, what? Like, she's freaking crushing, you know, which is awesome.
Yeah.
I love that. Okay. So my question I just kind of want to wrap this up and end on this is just the mindset that you've had to have throughout the life to get you to where you're at. Like, how is mindset, I know it's kind of an open-ended, like, right, very broad question, but like, how has mindset impacted your journey?
Definitely unlocked a lot of things that I never knew was possible. So for me, it was always like, okay, graduate from high school, then get a degree, move home, and then like you're done, right? Then you start saving and then you retire. So I never really thought of doing anything more than that. But it wasn't until, you know, I hit a wall as far as wanting something different for my life. So working 60 to 70 hours and then seeing my boss even working more than me, I was like, that's going to be my life. Like, I don't want that to be my life. And so I think you figuring out, okay, what do I want to do next? Or why do I want to change? Because a lot of people feel that pull in them, like, I want something different, but I just don't know what. And so just asking those questions, looking that up, and then surrounding yourself by people that are doing what you want to do. And so that I didn't know about, like, the value of mentorships and about joining masterminds and going to events. I was a civil engineer for 10 years. I sat behind my desk, you know, we had VAs and everything was on the computer, even with our contractors, right? We'd send out emails because we needed to document everything. But at the same time, I didn't put myself out there until I needed a change. So figure out what you want to change. Two, put yourself around those other people that are doing it. And then three, figure out what else you need to finally take that leap. So for me, it was joining a mentorship, being around other high-level investors, and then figuring out, okay, I don't necessarily right now have a particular asset class that I want to jump all into. Of course, multifamily is great, but I like the flexibility. So I want to be a capital raiser moving forward. I want to start a fund. That way I can still be in different sorts of projects. So now we're in apartment buildings, I'm getting into RV parks. I want to get into a hotel. Like, yeah. For me, that's exciting to
totally.
Me. Yeah. You can focus on one asset class and go very far as well, but figure out what strategy or what excites you, and then definitely put yourself around those people. Because I think during 2020, when the world shut down, I just quit my job. So I was like, oh, great. Well, this is how we start. And I remember at mid 2020, Steve Rosenberg had started a mentorship called the Think Tank Mastermind. Okay. And so I connected with him. He set forth like all these challenges and things for us to do. And just going through that process and having at that time it was free. Now you have to pay for it. But I was like, okay, this is why people pay for mentorships, is because they have that person behind them that is, you know, pushing them. And then of course, Ryan Pineda is like, you can do it. I'm doing it. Like, I'm literally showing you the way. All you got to do is take action and do these steps. So I think that was the biggest thing, is just confidence and belief in yourself.
Huge. Mm-hmm. Absolutely huge. And that confidence and belief in yourself continues to grow as you just take the action steps, as you just, that's literally what gets you, those experiences get you that confidence.
Right. And if you don't have it for yourself, go and partner with somebody, partner with an experienced investor to get that. And that's what I do a lot of now, is not necessarily partnering with newbies who are like fresh out the gate, but they might have bought some rentals and now want to get into flipping, or now want to get into multifamily. They just don't know how. Or like my latest partnership is they have all these Airbnbs, but don't know about RV parks. And it's, you know, $1 million raise for a $3.5 million project, which is kind of smaller than, you know, you would syndicate for. But essentially me just partnering with her gives her the boost to, okay, now we can do this, right? Yeah. We have somebody. And I like to partner because you split roles and responsibilities as well as the risk, and overall for the project, you have somebody else to go over things with, because sometimes exactly, it does get a lot for one person.
Totally does. Mm-hmm. It, one of the actionables that I think everyone should take is you looked at your boss, right? And you looked at your boss and you said, man, he, she, whoever that was working more hours than you were working. That's not the life I want. That in and of itself is this actionable that you take. You look at where you're progressing to, the track you're on. Mm-hmm. Is that really what you want? And if not, then what do you want? Like, when I went to my very first multifamily class and I looked at the gentleman teaching the class and I looked at the quality of life, the time, and the partnerships, it was partnerships. I'd been doing a couple flips, had some single family rentals, some wholesales, but I was doing all of it. And it's like to carry that whole burden was taxing, you know? Mm-hmm. So I looked at this, I'm like, hold on, man, now there's enough profit on these deals to actually justify multiple partners. And I started seeing how this is structured and see, and I was like, this is what I want. It's literally what I want. Like, I wanted cash flow. For me, time with family is massive. That's driven me for as long as I can even begin to tell you because of my background and how I grew up. But when I saw him. I saw his quality of life. Mm-hmm. I was like, yep, that's it. That's what I want. And that has continued to escalate as you grow and you continue to scale and you see different people at different stages. That's why it's so important to look to the future of like, okay, identify somebody that's in the position that you would like to be, that you can semi-relate to, and then do what they're doing. It's literally that simple. Mm-hmm. Do what they're doing and actually have the belief that you can do those things.
Yeah. And like I said, not everybody starts like that. So even, you know, the place that me and Tyler are at, we didn't get here by, okay, we just did these steps. We took this action. It also, it's a mental game, right? Oh, because there's daily struggles and daily things that we go through, whether it's family, business, you know, outside life. And you just got to maintain that goal. It's like, why am I doing this? You know, keep that why in mind, and that will get you through the hard times.
100%. My question is, do you share that stuff on social? The things that are challenging and hard, do you share that?
Yes. So mostly on my stories, and I'm still trying to figure out a way to share it and not, you know, steer away people from investing, because that is something else too, right? It's like, oh, see, this is why I'm not investing, because I don't want to go through this stuff. But there are, I like to share both sides of it because it's just the reality of what it is. And so even for me, I have my individual rentals that I self-manage, and it doesn't take that much time, but it's still the toilets, tenants, and whatever they say. It's like, I'm still dealing with the tenants directly. However, I like that part of it because it keeps me grounded when I get to see what they go through. And a lot of my rentals are people with Section 8 or on rental assistance. And so it reminds me, okay, be humble, keep your feet on the ground, but also progress, because these are the people. I can't help anybody unless I first help myself and bring myself up to where I want to be.
I can't help anybody unless I first help myself. Mm-hmm. I love that, man. So our investment company, MF Capital Partners, our tagline, our motto, our like what we want to do is invest with, we call it invest with Aloha. You call it impact investing or making an impact, investing with an impact. Mm-hmm. Section 8 tenants, impact on your investors, impact on these, all these people that you're helping throughout. And you cannot do that unless you grow yourself. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's so important to share both sides. And I'll be honest with you, I say that, but we're so similar, by the way, because I love how your mind goes to, because this is absolutely where my mind goes to. I'm nervous to share this because I don't want it to impact anybody in a negative light. Like, mm-hmm. I know just from what you just said that, like, I know the impact we can have, good or bad. And I know that if I send the message the right way, it's game over for that person the best way. Like, yeah, their belief will be enhanced. But if I do something that impacts their belief in a negative light, well, that would break my fucking heart. Because mm-hmm. that's literally the whole reason that I do all of this, is to enhance belief. Enhance belief so that we can invest with Aloha and actually make an impact. And so we're very similar that way, you know, but I need to share more of it.
Yeah. And I think people don't realize the good that can be done with investing. Is a lot of times we are, especially when you're still growing and on the smaller scale as far as flips, right? A lot of people locally, even for me growing up, had a hard time affording living here. But I tell people, okay, when I do, you know, my flips or renovate a home that maybe nobody could even, wasn't even livable, then now I'm creating this new place for somebody to live, I don't always pick the highest offer. I most of the time go with a local family or somebody who's going to be there. I take into consideration the you know, community itself and the neighbors. Oftentimes, oh, can you put somebody in that's going to be here longer term, that adds value to the community? I think about those things as well. And so that's one way that you can give back. It doesn't always work out, but when it does work out, where you can choose somebody that, you know, maybe it is a first time home buyer or is really trying to make it happen with their family and isn't the highest price, now you have the choice. You have ownership. You own this project, so you can choose who you want to sell it to.
I love that. Mm-hmm. And I love that that is something that you take into consideration. Like, so many people will just be on the sidelines and be like, man, this is the problem. This is the, you know, you're going to raise rents here. You're going to charge more for this here. But they don't control anything. Mm-hmm. You actually control your ability to make an impact by putting yourself in that position. I love that your mind goes that way. Like, it tells me a ton about your heart. Like, mm-hmm. you have a great heart. I love that.
Thank you.
And I believe that's an indirect return, right? We have direct returns, selling it for top dollar. And then we have these indirect returns. And those indirect returns will get you farther than any direct returns ever will get you. I believe that to my core. That's an abundant mindset to know mm-hmm. that this is actually going to impact me in another way. It's another way that maybe we don't even recognize down the road, right?
Right.
It's powerful.
When in all the contacts you make along the way, the escrow officers, the agents, you know, even the buyers, they will then spread that news about you or be able to, you know, shed a different light about the type of investor you are. And that'll open up to more opportunities from there. And that's how I get a lot of my business, from relationships, from other people referring me. Hey, I have this person, you know, family member in need, and this is what, you know, what they're going through. And so I'm like, okay, well, I have all these connections in the real estate community, or have they, you know, thought about refinancing their home? Have they tried to take out a personal loan, talk to other family members? I can be there to help, you know, guide that conversation. And then I'll be kind of the last one to work with. But especially living in a small community, you want to make sure that they've explored all their other avenues and you're actually doing it for the right reasons, and not, oh, I have this cash offer that, you know, you could take. It's like, hey, we can help you do all these other things, and then if it's the right fit, then, you know, we can work with you too.
Yes, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. That, like, that's so great, and that's what excites you. You know, everybody needs one. That's one of the things you mentioned, is that you look for something that excites you. Mm-hmm. and that's it. Like, that, if some different people are motivated by different things, like, but find out what that is and put yourself in a position to actually control that situation. Dude, you're awesome. Thank you so much for taking the time to come in office. By the way, my chair is so squeaky. It is driving me nuts. And those of you who are watching on YouTube, you know that I usually sit there, but for some reason today I decided to sit here. I'm not a fan
it's
of
different.
This. It's different. My knees are hitting.
I'm putting you in an uncomfortable position.
Jeez, man,
get comfortable being uncomfortable.
That's it. Okay, I want to end with, so first off, before I even get into this, you know, the Hawaiian value, is all y'all need to go share this episode. Where can people follow you or find you, by the way?
So on Instagram, invest@investwithzasha, and then also on my website, zashasmith.com. On my Instagram, even though I have a lot of followers, I still check majority of the messages that come through that, you know, have a legit question, or if you are on Maui and wanting to know more, you know, and be around an experienced investor, I'm always willing to help people in that. And then we also have a meetup coming up. We do have monthly meetups, but if you watch this before November 21st, Monday, that's when we're having a meetup at Maui Brewing Company, 5 to 7, if you'll be on Maui.
I love it, dude. I love that. Okay, we'll put all those links in the show notes for sure.
Perfect.
I wanted to end with a Hawaii. We always end with a Hawaiian value, mm-hmm. okay? And the Hawaiian value I wanted to end with is, and I had no idea what direction this episode was going to go. I didn't. But I'm so glad I chose this one, which is Emeola. Do you know what that means?
No.
It means seek the best, okay? So Emi means to search or to mm-hmm. hunt, and then Ola means life, health, well-being. And Zasha, that's literally what you've done. Like, Emeola is all about searching and creating our best life. And just hearing your journey and what you've done, that's literally what you've done at every single stage. Like, you've used your skills and you've learned, you know, the skills that you had, and then you searched out new skills, right? And then you took advantage of opportunities, and when you come against challenges, you search out solutions to those challenges. And that's, I believe that's how we seek the best life, is to really seek out solutions to overcome challenges and grow ourselves. But because by doing that, we put our camera down, camera down. We just had a camera go south on us. By doing that, we put ourselves in a position to bless our lives, certainly, but also the lives of others. And you're an inspiration, man. You're amazing. So Emeola, seek the best life. So,
thank you.
Any last things that you would like to say before we wrap this one up?
I mean, my overall mission and my overall message that I always like to leave people with is that you can build wealth while making an impact. However much money you make doesn't need to change who you are. It only amplifies how much more you can give back and how much more you can put into things that you already believe in. Yeah. And so that's, yeah. You can be a small local island girl from Maui and still make it. So.
Oh, man. Absolute rock star. I'm so glad we were able to connect. Thank you for taking the time to come in. All y'all out there who are listening to this, share the episode. Follow Zasha. Connect with her. And live always with aloha. Peace. Multifamily Mindset. Podcast.